we could advance straight to the sermon slides, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Jesus was weary. They'd been walking for some time. It was the spring, April, and they were coming across the fields as they traveled north back toward the area where Jesus was from, out of Judea and the celebrations of the festival in Jerusalem and all of the joyous but yet disappointing things that they had experienced there. It was Jesus' first Passover, and even as the sun grew warmer and the days grew longer, sadly, fewer of the leaders of the people were really embracing what God had given them in Jesus. And as they reached outside the town of Sychar, Jesus sat down on a traditional spot, a well that had been dug traditionally by their great-great-great patriarch ancestor. And as he waited there, his disciples went to find some food for them as they made this journey. Indeed, they were weary, but as Jesus often seemed to recover energy as he rested, he also felt what we all feel: thirst, hunger, desire for refreshment, as it were. And as he waited there, we find in John chapter 4 that at about the sixth hour, or noon as we call it, high noon, there came a single woman all by herself with a water pot out from Sychar toward the well to get the water she needed for her household. Being the only other company there, Jesus asked her because the well was deep and she had a pot and something to get the water out with, if she would give him a drink. And the conversation that followed from there, Jesus wanted to communicate to this woman that there was something more than the things she was struggling to survive with for this life. There was something greater than what she might get even out of the best and most wonderful traditional spot where God had always provided for his people. For today, something even more amazing was accessible to her. You've heard the story before. And so let's drop in to this conversation between Jesus and this woman with, well, let's just say a checkered family history. Jesus knows that she has been married 5 times. How shame-producing that must be. And that she's living with a man that's not even committed to her now. How sad. But in light of all of this, the conversation continues, and we find ourselves in John chapter 4, beginning at verse 25, the last verbal exchange between the two. The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him, Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." His disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more from now, and then it will be harvest time? I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields. They are ripe for harvest now. Even now the reaper draws his wages, and even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. "Because of the woman's testimony, he told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've heard what we came for today. But as I've been thinking about this passage, I've been thinking about what it is that's happening here. What is this hungry situation? And we could use so many nuances of that term to explain every single character in this story, including Jesus. What is it that they were really focused on? Well, let's start with the disciples. They show up. They've missed the conversation that Jesus has had to help this woman see the hope that's available to her. But they're focused on a couple of things. The first thing they ask is, why is he talking to her? Single, wonderful man in the middle of nowhere. Out comes woman who's available in so many ways. God help her. When men are hungry and alone and tired, it's usually not a recipe for good things. Jesus, why are you talking to this woman? What is really going on here? I mean, you are a man like us, let's be honest. But they dare not ask him that. They wouldn't want to assume that that was part of what was behind why Jesus would strike up a conversation with this semi-foreign woman. So they dared not ask, but it's in their minds because the writer, John, one of the disciples, has just told us that they were too timid to ask that question lest it be misunderstood in the worst possible way. So clearly they're wondering if Jesus struggles like they struggle, like most men I know struggle, when they're lonely and tired and they're with an opportunity. But the disciples are also focused on food, right? Jesus, Rabbi, have something to eat. You've got to sustain yourself. We got to take care of our bodies here, Jesus. This is how we keep going. We've got a mission to do, so let's think about doing what we got to do to make ourselves strong, to keep ourselves well, right? That's how it is in this world that we live in. No matter where we're on this journey, we got to take care of number one because nobody else will. We've got to make sure we have everything we need and we are there getting what we need for ourselves. And even if it means we go on or off to find it, we got to do what we got to do. So if there's not time to pray all the time, you'll forgive me, but I got to take care of my life. Yeah, the disciples are kind of focused on the material. I can identify with that, can't you? I got to do what I got to do to put bread on the table, keep money in the bank, keep the bill payer and the tax collector, the people I owe and the tax collector away, right? Yeah, that's what we're focused on, and we're hungry for the peace and the satisfaction that comes from knowing that we've taken care of everything we need to take care of. That's what a lot of us as disciples are focused on. Huh. Then there's the Sychareans, these people who are coming to hear Jesus because they've heard this woman who was so captivated she left her water jar behind. I mean, really, it's high noon, the heat of the day, and this seems so much more important even than the water she needed for life that she abandons it to bring these people. And they're willing to abandon whatever they're doing that day and come to the center of the well or away from town. Maybe they left businesses behind. Maybe they left families and children behind. Maybe they brought them all with them, but everything just stops because these people are focused on something else. They're focused on somebody's come to our village here in our despised part of the world. Someone really wants to teach us the truth about God. Someone who has clear divination skills and can tell us everything we've ever done, who claims to be the Christ. Yeah, you bet we'll make time for this person in our life. We'll focus on that. And they do. And they come. They're hungry to see something amazing. They're hungry to see what God could do. And some of us, we gather together with fellow believers because we're hungry to see what God might do. We're hungry to hear what God might say. We want to get to the place where that's near. And it wasn't convenient to get up on this day when we could sleep in, when we don't have to be at work. But we came because we're eager for that, right? Yeah, we can identify with that, especially if someone's going to give an amazing testimony. And the door's always open. Speak up. We'd love to hear how God's at work in you. I'd love to hear any stand up and say, let me tell you, church, what the Lord is doing and what happened this week. An amazing answer to prayer. Yeah. Let's focus on that. But these Sychareans are also focused on something else. Once they hear Jesus, they say, please stay. Stay means come and be our guest. It means come, let us put you up overnight for free. Come, let us feed you. Let's take care of you. Be among us. Stay with us. We'll give sacrificially so that you can be here with us. We'll listen carefully so we can understand what God has to say to us. Yeah. Like you and I, Sychareans. We give because Wendell and Yoli can go. We give because we want this place to stay open. We want people in the neighborhood to hear about God. We want people in Burkina Faso to hear about God. We give generously because God's working, and we want to give into that, just like these in Sychar did. Thank you. Thank you for what you commit to give, and thank you for what you'll commit to give maybe a little bit later in the service today, as you want to see the truth of God brought to life here and far away. What a great thing. What a great thing to be hungry for. Hungry to see God's move, God's work, God's kingdom expanded. There's no greater investment than that. Not really. But let's turn back to Jesus, who's been sitting here this whole time, looking out across the fields, maybe seeing the town of Sychar in the distance, watching the woman come, talking with her, watching the disciples come, her leave. And as Jesus is sitting there, he reflects and he speaks. He speaks out of the hunger that's deep within him. It was first thirst. Could you give me a drink of water? And he's been so energized by this conversation, he seems to have forgotten that completely. We're not told whether the woman gave him a drink of water or not. The conversation just went on. It didn't say, and she poured out water for him to drink. It doesn't say that in the text. But somehow Jesus has lost track of that hunger because he's on to something else. Notice that he says, I have food you do not know about. There's something else that fills me, disciples. Rabbi, you should eat. We've come a long way. You need to renew your strength. Oh, my strength's already being renewed. I'm feeling filled up already just because of what I'm seeing happen. I saw a trickle of hope in the heart and in the mind of a woman who was despised and rejected, and now I see a flood of people headed this way. Oh, I'm pretty well full now. I have a fullness of joy. Can't you see that even though it's April and the plants are young, the harvest is about to come in? Do you watch it moving toward us even now, disciples? Do you see people coming, searching, asking questions because they want to know if God is on the move? They want to know if he's accessible to them too. Look, it's harvest time.
What do you mean, Jesus? I see young plants. It's April. This is crazy.
No, 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 no. Forget the plants. Look at what's coming our way. A flood of hunger. Hunger of people who want to see God at work and want to know if what we say about him is really true and want to know if what I really say about myself is authentic. And every day, the flood of curiosity and hunger for a living, real spirituality flows all around us. Oh, there's so much thirst. There's so much hunger. I was praying about that. Praying, God, who are the people in my realm who are ready to be harvested? People who are hungering and thirsting and searching. And last night, I had a conversation with a neighbor, Dennis. I'd been praying for him for weeks and asking my fellow staff members to pray with me for this friend. I said, pray that I'll have an opportunity to speak to him because I don't think he really believes. I don't think he knows God. I think he has a heritage, but I don't think there's a real living love of the Spirit in him. And what do you know? As I was walking in the corridor of our condo, there he was. And we stood there. And we must have talked for 25 minutes. My wife said, where have you been? I said, oh, I got to tell you. I was talking to Dennis, you know, our neighbor from doors down. We were chatting. And we got to talking about things that we're learning and ways that we're growing. And it led to talk about economics and politics and life and pretty soon God. And we talked about what the Lord does. And what the Lord has made us, and what we're made to be. And he was really soaking it in. It was like he was kind of thirsty. How little did I see, even in my own everyday stroll, that there was hunger and there was thirst even then. That God has heard my prayers, and the work of others has gone before, and maybe a little bit more of the growth that's ready for harvest to be done was done. Maybe I have food I didn't even realize. I felt so full, so joyful, so satisfied that this prayer had been answered. I'd take time to say more, but you get the idea. There are people all around us who know little of God, just enough to be dangerous to themselves, who have ideas they've collected from all the many myriad of ideas that float around in our wonderfully inclusive culture and city. But we are called to see those who are hungering, those who are moving, those who are ready to take in more because they feel an emptiness that nothing else satisfies. Can you see them? Or are you mostly focused on the food that's on your plate? And the things that you've gone after to get for yourself, to sustain yourself. Can you see the people around you who are ready to drop their stuff to get a little bit more of what this is about? Are you praying that they will? Are you praying that they'll see the futility of the things of this world and how they can be taken away, but yet there is food and drink that can never be taken away? Are you even hungry for that? I'm hungry for that. I long to see the Spirit welling up in people. I long to see the dry well aching, calling out for the water that comes from above. I'm eager to learn how to have the right words and manage the right conversations to offer that word of hope that will feel like water in the desert. Have you had one of those conversations? Have you felt the fullness of joy that comes from offering the word of life? Are you even hungry for that conversation? Jesus is hungry for that conversation through you. Look above. Look above the things of the earth. Look to what I am moving, disciples, the Lord calls out. Look to what can fill you forever, and not just right now on this hot, long day outside your city. How filling it will be. There's an insert in our bulletin today. Because all this month we're talking about the ways we want to invest in the things of the kingdom of God. And today we come to evangelism and missions. And what a beautiful expression this was, that we can give money. But it's about more than money. It's about words offered in prayer to God, words offered in hope and blessing to others, people who are fellow believers who need encouragement, and people who have no idea who God is who also need a word of hope that all things will be well one day, and they may enter into the kingdom even now. And so, the Lord invites all who experience new life in Him to harvest the crop for eternal life. Will you share and give in His mission? Check a box. Print your name below. We will invite you to bring this completed card to the altar table as your commitment near the conclusion of today's service. Here we are. Let's put this water pot out here. Maybe that'll be our receptacle for these things that we long for the water of life to flow more deeply, more richly, more fully. Maybe we'll fill this out and check the one or two or three boxes that you sense the Spirit telling you to say, commit this to me, my child. Commit to me that you will hunger for the things I hunger for. Will you pray? Will you speak? Will you learn to speak? Will you give? Let the flow increase. Let it well up through you. Whoever hears my words, in him it will well up to a spring of life, Jesus said to the woman that day. And he says it to us all now. Maybe you'll pray daily for a friend who does not yet believe. Many of you are doing that already. I know. I've heard you. Their names, we've put them here. We pray for them, and we'll pray for them again in just a few minutes. Maybe you'll build a friendship with a coworker or a neighbor like I did with Dennis. May there be more conversations. I can't wait to be filled up with those moments. Maybe you'll share your experience of Jesus with someone you already know well. Maybe you'll share what God has done this week to show that God is alive and active in your life, and they'll see maybe if it's true for you, maybe God will be active in my life too. Maybe the fourth box, I will attend a special training seminar at Millican Church to learn how to share my faith with others. We're scheduling it right now. You know Jessica Barnett, who's a missionary at Ryerson downtown. Her husband, Henry, said, please, I'd love to come and share that. We're scheduling it. Maybe you'll say, I don't know when it's going to be, Pastor George, but I'll come to that. I'll learn how to share my faith. I'll listen to Henry, who's a trainer in how to share your faith with another person. On a university campus, of all the secular places, if he can do it, I can too. Amen. Maybe you'll check one of this bottom box here. I will give regularly to support evangelistic missions. Maybe Jessica at Ryerson. Maybe Dave and Olivia, who are coming to Best Years Fellowship this Tuesday, are going to talk about how God is speaking into their lives to speak hope to someone. I'm so excited. They've already told me a couple of stories of people they've made connections with down in the Bloor Village neighborhood. And I know you're going to be encouraged by them if you come to Best Years Fellowship this Tuesday as well. Maybe you'll give to that. Maybe you'll give to Transformation Church. We just sent a mission team and all of the First Nations folks who live in the community there, and Pastor Nathan's team, and how they're reaching out to bring Jesus and his hope and healing to people who really don't have much hope. Maybe you say, I'm going to support one of these missionaries, Mike and Angela with the Caris Project, Ryan and Sarah in Nicaragua, Robin in Japan, or even WKFM. I'll give regularly to that. Amen. Circle the ones you feel God calling you to say, increase the flow, my child. Our musicians are coming, and we're going to sing a song of our commitment so that we can bring our expressions to the Lord. Fill mine out right now. And as we sing this song, and as we make these commitments, I invite you to come and do this physical act of putting before the Lord. If the people of Sychar can come all the way out in the heat of the day, you can certainly come up in the air-conditioned space we're in here to say, Lord, increase your flow through me. I'm tired of being hungry to see what you will do. I want to see more of what you'll do in this neighborhood, in my range of relationships, and even far away across the world through the people who are indeed hungry to see you move. Let's pray the words that are at the bottom there before we sing. Shall we pray with me aloud? Lord, grant me grace and courage to speak of your grace and truth to the people you place in my life. Draw them to yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten. Those who seek God shall never go wanting. God himself fills us. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Stand with me today. Express your boldness before the Lord and see how full you may be. Please stand.